the community, the parents, the students, and the teachers, nurses, and librarians have been put through massive layoffs. I know you think that you need to do this layoff, but you don't. Teachers, nurses, and librarians in Long Beach have already agreed to cuts in pay and reductions in health benefits in order to alleviate program cutbacks. Laid-off teachers have come back to substitute in our classrooms, and current teachers, nurses, and librarians are doing more work as a result of the layoff of over 500 of their colleagues last year, all resulting in massive savings for the district. Our students in our community can't afford to see more cuts to the classroom and our students. Many of these proposed layoffs are just simply not necessary. We understand some of the proposed cuts or some of the proposed layoffs are in direct response to the governor's budget proposal, but others are not. Most, if not all, of the proposed cuts to the K-12 program are not necessary at all. In fact, every K-12 teacher should be fully rehired based on the projected K-12 staffing needs, combined with the savings from very predictable attrition caused by retirements and leave requests. And the apparent proposal to eliminate the entire Head Start program is uncalled for based on projected funding and on Talb's overt offers to work with the district to reduce costs in that program in exchange for a long-term commitment from the district to support Head Start. In fact, any decisions on the Head Start program tonight should not have come until there was a full hearing on whether or not to save or eliminate the Head Start program. These are tough times, and we all know that. We have all done our part along the way, and we know we need to help. We need help from the community at the ballot box in November by having them support a statewide revenue initiative to help our schools. But we also need you to take the steps to stop the layoffs and find savings in other areas away from the classroom. We know other districts have done just that. We also know that our district now spends less as a percentage of the overall budget on classroom teachers, nurses, and librarians than before. In real terms, this means that you've shifted about $10 million into other non-classroom areas. The teachers, nurses, and librarians of Long Beach ask that you restore morale and restore confidence by making the classroom the priority it was just a few years ago, not just by your words, but by your actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd.
And Mr. President, I would just add a couple of thoughts. One is, this goes back to the earlier item that you voted on, with those 82 FTE, then will go back into other positions in the district, many of which these teachers on this Exhibit A hold, because these people are in special contracts. The other piece is that as a declining enrollment district, we've been declining for the last 8 years, and roughly we're losing between 1,200 and 1,500 students a year, K-12, which means that we need to reduce our workforce just naturally close to 50 teachers just to stay even with the decline in enrollment. So we are looking at a loss of about at least 135 FTE that we need to make up for. The unknown that we don't have is how many retirements would be out there. We won't know that till the end of the year. And the other piece is how many people on leave of absence, which many of these people on Exhibit A are taking the place of right now, are going to come back to work because they have a right to come back to work and be employed. And that is mainly in the K-12 arena part of it. So some of these individuals may come back and be rehired. Many most likely will not, to be honest with you. Under the early childhood program, as you heard earlier, the governor has, for the last 2 years, made drastic cuts to the early childhood program known as CDC in the state of California. And I just wanted to be noted here, Long Beach Unified is very proud of its early childhood programs. In fact, I think we have the best in the entire nation. And it's been noted that our Head Start is one of the best in the nation. So that means that the child development teachers that are laid off because of lack of work in that program would then have bumping rights into the Head Start position. All of our Head Start teachers, and in fact, all of our employees in there are special contract. That's why they're all noticed. And so we wouldn't know how many people actually would not be rehired until the end of the school year. What this exhibit gives you is the flexibility to move around and meet the needs of the district on the fiscal side of the house. And as you can see, last year, when we had a much larger layoff list, we did bring back over 100 people to fill leaves in other positions. So it's with great sadness that we have to do this. And as Mr. Boyd said, it is absolutely critical that this community support public education, not only in our community, but in the state, because if the initiative is not passed, we will see cuts that we will have never seen in our entire life. It will truly be Armageddon, and the public needs to know that. This district has done an outstanding job of cutting away from the classrooms and everything. You're not going to find a leaner district around than in Long Beach Unified, but we're at the breaking point now where we it's affecting everything that we do. So, and as we said earlier at the previous board meetings, we will be watching very closely positions that when people resign or retire early, whether or not we replace those positions. And we'll be a regular update to the board on that.
Mr. Steinhauser, you, in addition to the two unknowns you mentioned, how many retirements there will be and how many teachers returning from leave of absence, it's also true, isn't it, that the other big unknowns right now are what the May revise for the governor's budget is going to be, what the legislature might propose. And in the meantime, we are facing now, as we do every year at this time, having to make the decision prior to the March 15th layoff date in order to leave our options open for later decisions.
Correct. The way the law works is that, we have to approve a budget, so we'll be coming back to you with a second interim. And then the May revise comes later. And we do not have the flexibility that we would need in the future if we had to make reductions. And so this is a safeguard that we have to do. It is possible that every leave individual would come back. That's unlikely. But if they do, we have to have a job for them because they have a right to that job. So we have taken great care to make sure that we are not giving out hundreds more notices than we need to. This is a very carefully crafted list to make sure that we don't do that. But at the same time, protect the fiscal viability of the district.
I have a clarification. You mentioned that the CDC teachers would bump, if it happened, the Head Start teachers. And yet the Head Start teachers would not have the right credential to go into a classroom. Is that correct?
No. Mrs. Ashley, want to address how that works?
The Head Start would not be able to bump up into a classroom?
Correct.
Because they're
the statutory.
Okay. K-12 classroom, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Steinhauser, on the Head Start program, I remember Dr. Perry making a presentation. As I recall, we serve about 2,800 kids in Head Start.
Approximately. Over 2,000.
Mm-hmm. And I was stunned because she listed nearly 40 quasi-administrative or supervisory positions. Do we have any lever with the federal government to streamline that to preserve teachers?
Unfortunately, no. There are two things that we don't have flexibility over in Head Start. One is that we're required to have certain positions, whether it be for health services or for nursing services or management, whatever fall into the management arenas. You have teachers, you have aides, then you have family service educators, and so on. Then you have pots of money for professional development. You're not allowed to move money from pot A to pot B. So Head Start has several different, what they would call grants, basic grants. The management has been reduced, and they have actually reduced their school year and as part of the cost savings to the program. One thing that we are advocating with our regional office is to give us more flexibility on how we use certain resources. So for example, and I'm just gonna make this up, let's say we have $200,000 in professional development, and maybe we don't want to spend $200,000 on professional development because our people have had a lot of professional development. We're not allowed to move that money from pot A to pot B. We may be given $200,000 for capital improvements. Well, maybe we don't need $200,000, we only need $75,000. We're not allowed to move the monies for different pots in that sense.
Thank Chris, you. Talk about budget for Head Start, and if the budget is sufficient to support Head Start, or is that budget encroaching on
The Head Start budget is encroaching on the school district's regular budget.
By how much?
Right now, a little over, I believe it's $200,000, $220,000. We've made it very clear to our Head Start department as well as our Child Development department, because CDC was encroaching at the same time, that we these programs are wonderful, but we cannot have any encroachment because that means we have to cut from other places. And so we have, both departments have worked diligently to reduce those. The problem with the Head Start budget is it's a federal budget. It comes with all these mandates. There are over 700 performance indicators. We're having a compliance review this year and we'll do very well, but it's absolutely, in my opinion, crazy how many things we have to dot our I's and cross our T's on when we really should be looking at the outcomes for the kids in the program. Our teachers do a fantastic job. I highly encourage everybody to go visit these centers, whether they be a Head Start or Child Development. And so what we need to make sure, when we get the program money from the federal government, it doesn't keep up with the regular costs for our system. So for example, we may get a 2% increase or a flat funding. For several years, we got flat funding. Our teachers, not recently, but in the past, have received a raise. Well, there was no raise built in from the government for those programs. So they get you a certain amount of money with all these mandates that you have to do. And
right.
So we want to change that. So, and I have hope because we've been advocating for flexibility at the state level and everyone thought we were crazy. And now it looks like we're probably gonna get that flexibility. So we have to plan for the future. That's what this is. And at the same time, we have to advocate on behalf of our children. Because again, we would not be having all those visitors come to our school district if this school district didn't do everything in concert. And by that, we drill down all the way to our, and remember, Head Start has an early Head Start. These are infants that we, you know, mm-hmm. we have about 160 infants that we work with them and their families. So by building a strong early intervention program, it allows our kindergarten teachers to do a fantastic job all the way up through the high school arena. So we want to fight diligently for these programs, but at the same time, we need to plan for potential problems.
Chris, as I understand it, if when some of the budgetary issues and questions are settled in May or June, and if we conclude that we do indeed have to go through with these cuts to Head Start and eliminate the program within the Long Beach Unified School District, federal funds will still be available for some agency to provide Head Start programs for these children so they won't be completely without a Head Start program?
Correct. Every year, every agency that operates a Head Start program has to reapply. And so you basically operate on a year-to-year contract. That's why all of our Head Start employees are on a special contract. If the program, for some reason, were not here in Long Beach Unified, families, there would be a Head Start program in the community. It obviously wouldn't be operated by us, and that's what it was in the past. There was a nonprofit organization that operated the Head Start program in Long Beach Unified, the community of Long Beach, and the district was approached many, many years ago because the program was not of high quality and it was running into fiscal and other issues. And we were approached to take it over, and I'm glad we did. And so, so before we give it up, we want to make sure that we've done everything in our power to keep it and to make sure it doesn't encroach. Because I strongly believe that the program should stay within our realm because I think it would be a better program, personally.
Sure.
But I'm going to say this, because of the governor's budget, there are fewer slots today for children that qualify for these programs. So there are, and this is in a prime example, where we as a state are not standing up for the most important group, and these are our students whose parents can't afford child care, they can't afford these preschool programs. And right now what's happening is that this group of families are taking the brunt of these budget cuts because as the governor cuts the budget and cuts the slots for these CDC students, there are fewer places for these children to go to quality preschool.
All the more reason to keep TK.
Absolutely, and that's why we're not gonna ever get rid of that program. So.
So if we approve this list tonight, what this list represents now is a conservative, reasonably, not excessively conservative approach to budgeting, which is still flexible if the budget situation improves dramatically in May or June.
Correct, and there's a couple different things here. You're exactly right. This is anything can change between now and June. And this district does a great job. HR does a wonderful job of moving on a dime when we need them to move on a dime to restore positions and that type of thing. If we get great flexibility and all of a sudden we've found that there's no encroachment and we work with our groups to end that, then all this is for naught. However, I do want to say there will be some reduction of Head Start staff because of the CDC cuts. The unless the May revise comes out and the governor restores the reductions to the child development program, the reductions of the child development program will have a direct impact on the employees of the Head Start program, depending on what that reduction is. And again, we won't know the exact reduction until the May revise.
Chris, what does the likelihood look like for getting flexibility at the federal level with respect to that area?
To be honest with you, zero right now. The federal government doesn't move as fast as many of us would like it to. But I believe, like anything, we need to move on multiple fronts. We need to work with our organizations on how to contain costs. We need to work with our federal government, which in this case would be our regional offices, on how we need to do things differently. Because as Mr. Boyd said, he's exactly right. We want a long-term solution to these problems. We don't want our programs to go on a roller coaster ride. And that goes back to the initiative process that the voters will be looking at in the future. The time has come, in my opinion, and I'm only speaking as an individual now, is that we need to put up as a state the resources it takes to educate our children. If we don't do that, we will become, in my opinion, a third world country, because this state is one of the wealthiest countries in the world if it were a country. And we don't spend any of the resources near any other place that we should on our children. And the time, as educators, we're very passive and quiet about this. Well, the time is we have to stop because it's the future that we're really addressing. So as your superintendent, we will work on all fronts, but I'm not gonna lie to you and say that we're gonna get flexibility overnight. It's taken probably 100 years to get it at the state level, but we need to work on both cost containment as well as flexibility.
Thank you, Chris. Further discussion?
I just want to acknowledge that Joe is right when he talks about the morale impact this has on teachers getting this kind of a notice this time of the year, but the last 3 years that I've been involved in this, I have been, and I'm not saying this to be patronizing the teachers, but the teachers in this district have been extraordinarily professional in continuing to teach students to the best of their ability, even under this kind of situation, which is unquestionably very demoralizing, and it's, you know, I'm sorry we have to do it, but the law does require it.
Thank you. John?
Sad that we have to vote on this.
Yeah. This remains a model school district for a lot of reasons, a lot of things that get thrown at us that require decision because we don't have complete control over a lot of the dynamics. But as a board, we got to look out with the best interest of this district in terms of keeping our doors open and making sure that we have a place for kids to come and learn.
I move approval of resolution 022112-E, reduction or elimination of certain certificated services.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion's approved.
And it doesn't get any easier.
Member?